The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh yeah.
Well, hello, it's like Christmas Day, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, that press conference yesterday evening, we've got so much to go through, so many nuggets to share with you, and we have the best political analysts on the planet that are going to drop by today. Hogan Gidley's here, Monica Crowley is here, Jason Miller, and of course our good friend Congressman Andy Biggs. Before we get started, I just have to give a massive shout out to Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. The amount of pressure that was put on those two senators, those two Democrats, we can't even imagine. We cannot begin to imagine the threats that were directed at them, not only publicly. I mean, if you've been following them on Twitter, just horrible things that are happening, but also privately, and probably more direct and more threatening privately behind closed doors. But they stood their ground. And my hat is off to Mitch McConnell, to Mitt Romney, all of the rhinos and never Trump Republicans. Everybody stood together. And guess what happened? When Republicans stand together, when we speak with one voice, we can stop evil from happening in this country. And that's exactly what happened last night. So my hat is off to all of the Republicans. Very rarely do we salute the old crow, as President Trump fondly refers to him, Mitch McConnell. But he did good yesterday. So well done, Republicans, and let's keep it up. We've got him on the ropes. But it is, wow, that press conference, did you see? I was, you could tell that, first of all, they had sequestered Biden. So Biden, that was Biden with 3 or 4 days of being somewhat comatose. So he hasn't had to do anything. They had him in Delaware. They were probably pumping him up with drugs and legal or maybe even illegal narcotics. We don't know, and I don't judge. But they were preparing him for that one moment yesterday. And it was very obvious, maybe, and at least it was obvious to me, that as the press conference went on, it was almost as if we were watching sunset happen before our very eyes on national television. And there were a couple of moments where right towards the end of when it was supposed to end, he began short-circuiting. And you knew he was short-circuiting because he'd be answering a question and then he would just come to a lurching stop, and people were like, what's going on here? And then he would resume with what he was saying. I was going through the transcripts on the White House press site. It was ineligible. He wasn't making any sense. But then Grace Baker, as I was watching this from the comfort of my home, I noticed that he started looking at his watch and he said, "Okay, I'm going to go on 20 more minutes." And when he said that, Grace Baker, I ran over to the kitchen, threw in some Orville Redenbacher theater butter style popcorn, got myself a Baptist martini, made it a double, put that sucker on ice. By the way, that's a Diet Coke with a wedge of lemon for you Lutherans out there. And I sat down because I knew it was about to get good. And man, I mean, by the end of it, it was almost as if he was drooling from the sides of his face.
Yeah, you weren't disappointed by that show.
And God bless James Rosen from Newsmax. How about that? Folks, I kid you not, and I will say this about Chris Ruddy and the owner of Newsmax. They are going toe-to-toe with Fox News Channel. Now, I know that Ducey, whose dad is Steve, I know that Ducey is the White House guy there, and he's doing a fine job, but Ducey's just working off of the talking points from headquarters, right? James Rosen is a veteran, seasoned journalist, and he crushed it last night with, quite frankly, the question of the day.
Thank you very much for this honor. James Rosen with Newsmax. I'd like to raise a delicate subject, but with utmost respect for punishment and the high office you hold. A poll released this morning by Politico Morning Consult found 49% of registered voters disagreeing with the statement, Joe Biden is mentally fit. Wow. Not even a majority of Democrats who responded strongly affirmed that statement.
Well, I'll let you all make the judgment whether they're correct.
Well, the question I have for you, sir, if you'd let me finish, is why do you suppose such large segments of the American electorate have come to harbor such profound concerns about your cognitive fitness? Thank you.
I have no idea.
You got me. I don't know why people think I'm nuts. What? Folks, that was the most beautifully and most eloquently delivered question I have heard from the White House in a very long time. James Rosen was incredibly, and again, I don't know Rosen's political leanings. I have a suspicion, but that doesn't matter. He's a journalist, and you've heard him on this program. We had him on a couple of weeks ago. I think it was last week, as a matter of fact. This guy is the real deal, straight arrow journalist who's not afraid to ask the tough questions, but be respectful. Now, I don't know if I could have done that in that particular setting, but James Rosen did, and I'm curious to hear from you. Your thoughts after you saw this, why do you believe that President Biden is mentally capable of being president of the United States, based on what you saw yesterday? Going to go ahead and give out the phone number. We're going to get to your calls. We got a lot of guests, but we've opened up the first hour of the show because we want to hear from you and get your observations, things that concerned you that you heard yesterday in that press conference. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I will say this. You know, Biden says he's outperforming. So, I mean, this was the, I mean, God love the mainstream media. Most of them, except for the people over at National Public Welfare Radio, most of them, they get it. I mean, there's no covering up what they saw. And one of the first questions, I believe it was the AP reporter who called out the president and said, Mr. President, I mean, your entire agenda has fallen apart here. And the president says, really? Because I think I've outperformed. So I got to thinking about that last night. What did the president mean by that, that he's outperformed? And when you sit back for just a moment and you think about it, the president may have a point here. Joe Biden may have a point. Because when you look at the entirety of American history and the American presidency specifically, when you look at that, there is an argument that could be made that Joseph Robinette Biden from Scranton, PA, is in fact the best, worst president we've ever had. I mean, he's even worse than Jimmy Carter. So maybe if that's how we're judging the Biden administration, he's a winner. We've got ourselves a winner. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. I want to go to CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
Oh, Judge Joe Brown, we love you, sir. Van Jones, who, by the way, years ago, just to show you how Looney Tune this guy is, and you need to understand, this is a radical progressive. He's one of these big animal rights nuts. Van Jones actually believes that animals should have the right to sue human beings. And in other words, let's just say that you've got I'm not in the cattle industry. Grace, what are you laughing at? This is a true thing.
I mean, how could I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole. No pun intended.
Honest to goodness, I wrote a chapter in a book. This was, it was like 3 or 4 books ago. And it's the one where I'm in overalls on the cover of the book. And the whole point of this chapter was I had been put on trial for the mass genocide of chickens because I love eating fried chicken. But and that was all based on Van Jones saying that animals should have a right to sue humans. In other words, if you're, say you have 2 cows and you kill one of the cows and you want to make a hamburger, so the surviving cow should be able to sue Farmer Brown for offing the cow. That's how lunatic Van Jones is. Van Jones last night, here's what he had to say about Joe Biden.
And I appreciate that, and I think a lot of Democratic voters appreciate that. That's the one time that you don't want to give any a fuzzy, foggy, let me tell you a long story answer, a clear and direct, they are a team, he's standing together, they're gonna fight forward. And look, I think that part of the reason that answer stood out so much is because some of the other answers were kind of foggy and meandering. I think it's have to be honest that you can be a foggy, meandering a president, say like Reagan near the end, if you're winning. But if you're foggy and meandering on key questions and you're also not winning, then you've got a real problem.
Yeah, he's lost CNN. He's lost Maddow. This is a presidency that is floundering right now. So what did they do? This morning, they sent out Kamala Harris. And Grace Baker, I've been informed by our legal counsel here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Todd, don't you go down this path about the cat fight. But that was a cat fight.
Yeah,
this morning.
I will say it was a cat fight, too.
So she was on the Today Show, right, Grace Baker? She was on the Today Show, Savannah Guthrie.
Oh, yes.
And normally, you know, these morning shows are meant to be a little bit more, you know, lighthearted, right?
Yeah, warm and fuzzy, drinking your cup of coffee.
Let's make a souffle.
Yeah, let's make a souffle. Let's talk about today's fashion trends. Have a musician on, whatever.
Have an author.
Yeah,
you know,
have an author.
It's just very lighthearted, you know, fair. You got, who's the chicks on NBC that drink the wine in
Hoda?
The midday show? Hoda, thank you. You got Hoda and one of the Bush girls. They used to have Kathy Lee.
Kathy
Lee. You know, it was kind of fun watching, you know, watching a couple of,
I mean, growing up, I watched
tipsy
it sometimes
on the air.
It was entertaining.
So instead of that, you had Kamala going at it with.
Who was in charge of their PR?
I don't know. It's bad, folks. It was bad. We're gonna go through some of these cuts, but it was a real cat fight. This is worse than The View. Worse than The View. All right, cut 22.
Remarks. Savannah, I'm being clear with you right now.
Yes, okay.
And so if you're interested, I'll continue to be clear. Which is that we have had direct conversations through various levels of diplomacy with Putin, with Russia, and most importantly, with our allies and partners, including our NATO allies and partners. We are clear and have been clear for quite some time that our first approach and priority and preference is that these issues could be resolved diplomatically. We have also been clear and continue to be clear that if Russia takes aggressive action, it will be met with severe costs.
It's aggressive.
It just went on and on and we'll play this. We'll go to break. We're going to come back and play more of this. Got to talk about the Ukrainian situation. Folks, if Donald Trump had done what Joe Biden did yesterday, he would have already been impeached this morning. The impeachment proceedings would have already been launched last night, and they would be voting on impeachment today. That's how crazy insane Biden was yesterday. And by the way, Joe Biden is out there saying that the midterm elections are going to be illegitimate. Where are all the never Trumpers? Where are all the woke evangelicals like David French and Russell Moore and all that? Where are all those people? They're mysteriously quiet. And I contend the reason why is we're now discovering that the woke evangelicals and the never Trumpers were never Republicans. borderline Christian. We don't question people's religious beliefs here, but we do question their judgment. But all of a sudden, they're very quiet. And I think the reason why is they're all closet Democrats. And that's why they're not criticizing Joe Biden. All right. Again, got to take a break here. Hey, ToddStearns.com. We have all sorts of great video, great analysis from last night. We're going to get your analysis this hour of the program, 844-747-8868. Are you concerned about war with Ukraine? Because you better be. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
Since 2015, since Donald Trump came down that escalator, the idea of sowing doubt in election results has been something that Democrats and reporters and the public have not liked about Donald Trump. And I'm certainly not going to compare what Joe Biden just said, President Biden just said, with Donald Trump's history when it comes to the big lie on the elections. But he refused to say that the election results this midterm in these midterms in November would be legitimate. He refused it.
Well, there you go. That's Jake Tapper over at CNN. And look, Tapper is right on the money here. Biden did exactly what President Trump did. And the media is giving him a pass. What about all, I mean, where are the calls of outrage from? And by the way, where is Liz Cheney on all of this? Why is she not out there leading the charge? She's accusing President Trump of trying to destroy democracy. And here you have Joe Biden out there months before the midterm elections already telling people, yeah, it's not going to be a fair race. Not going to be a fair race. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. North Carolina, Charles on the line. Hey, Charles, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, good afternoon. Well, Todd, it was a year ago today this illegitimate guy was installed as president, and just look how far we've come in a year, how far we've collapsed. I watched that news conference yesterday, Todd, and my takeaway was that it was totally rehearsed. Not only was he cherry-picking the reporters, but it looked to me like in the beginning he had advanced knowledge of the questions and prepared answers, not until the very end. But, Todd, in watching that, if the American people, regardless of their affiliation, didn't come away with the conclusion that this guy is totally incompetent and not capable of enough to the job, if that doesn't convince them, I don't know what will. And let me just say, and you tell me your thoughts on this, if Donald Trump is listening to this radio station today and hearing me or anybody else from his staff, I think today would be a perfect day for Donald Trump to do a news conference and not only compare his record with what's happened over the last year with the collapse of Afghanistan, the economy, immigration, you name it. And Joe Biden asked the question yesterday, what are Republicans for? Today would be a perfect day for Donald Trump to come out and pronounce what Republicans are for. And I think, what do you think about that?
Charles, look, a lot to unpack there. No, I'm with you. It was staged, and he oversold some of the lines, and you could tell that he was coached on. For example, you brought it up. What are the Republicans for? What are they for? What is McConnell for? It was almost as if the teleprompter said, "Scream on the word for." I mean, that's how they have to be with this guy. I mean, he's completely inept. So yeah, I thought it was staged until the very end, and that's when it all came unglued and the train came off the tracks. I'm going to answer the rest of your comments after this break. We'll be right back, folks. You know, if you're like me, it seems like winter always puts an extra strain on your immune system, and that's why I rely on Immuno 150. Did you know that most foods contain no more than 15 minerals? That's it, and it's because of a lack of minerals in today's topsoil. But Immuno 150 was formulated specifically with 70 plant minerals along with 80 other nutrients designed to improve your health. Look, let me just read the label for a second here. All right, it's got vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, chromium, 150 in all. Over the past 2 years, we've all been concerned about building a strong immune system, and that's why I'm such a big fan of Immuno 150. It helps me fight against all sorts of sickness. So supercharge your health with Immuno 150. Go to Immuno150.com/Todd, or you can call 888-306-8855. That's 888-306-8855, and that website again, Immuno150.com/Todd. So I'm doing a few projects around the house and getting a new dining room table. That thing's not going to be, it's on back order. I'll probably get it sometime in the summer is what they're telling us. By the way, you know Grace Baker, remember the big printer that we've ordered?
Yeah, the one from China.
From October.
Yeah.
From October. They told us, they told us it was going to be here a couple of weeks ago, and it wasn't. And they said, maybe next week, which was last week, and it wasn't.
Liars.
And now they're telling us maybe, just maybe, it'll be here at the end of the month.
Wow.
So, but we had one of our listeners who actually runs a printing company here in the Memphis area, and I think they're going to be able to, we're talking to them. So
there you go.
We're going to see how all that plays out. But anyway, getting some curtains made. And, you know, I'm not very, you know, that's interior decorating is not my forte. And someone recommended that I reach out to this place called Kelly's Designer Drapery. So I'm texting the owner of Kelly's Designer Drapery early this morning. And they're going to come out and do all the measurements. It was like a multiple, like 9 or 10 different text messages. You know, you got to send them photos and the whole nine yards.
Of course.
So in the course of all of this, the owner, she says, wait a second. She goes, are you the Todd Starnes on the radio? Now, Grace, if that question had been asked in New York City, I would have said, I don't know who that guy is. I said, I get
He's
these questions
crazy.
All the time. Yeah. I'm a Democrat. No. But here in Memphis, it's a little bit different response. And so anyway, it turns out that she and her husband, they have a big area that they, you know, they put together all the drapes and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they listen to the program.
Look at that.
And right there in their studio. So thank you very much. And good folks. And her work is incredible. And so she's going to make my place really look good. So right now it's basically shades of brown. You know how it is. You got your leather.
Add some color.
You got the leather chair and the leather-bound books.
It needs a woman's touch.
Some mahogany. It does need a lady's touch. So anyway, thank you for listening. And we just love all of our great listeners all over America, and especially here in the Mid-South. And I always run into somebody at the Kroger without fail, once a week, run into somebody at the Kroger. And I love that. So swing by and say hello. And I'd love to meet you in person. All right. I want to go back. Before we go to the phones, I want to play some audio here from something Biden said about Ukraine. That is a very serious situation. And if you are a Ukrainian right now, you are very concerned about what's going on. Here's cut number one, President Biden.
So I think what you're going to see is that Russia will be held accountable if it invades. And it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion and then we end up having a fight about what to do and not do, et cetera.
All right. So there's Biden saying, well, you know what? If there's a might, if they only invade a little bit, that's OK. We'll turn a blind eye to that. As you know, they can take over. I don't know. They can go in 20, 30, 40 miles into Ukraine and take over that. But then they're going to be in big trouble. So CNN has a reporter in Ukraine, and I was intentionally watching CNN because so you don't have to. And we do that. Grace, the whole staff here, we watch MSDNC and CNN because it's sort of our public service for you.
We love you guys so much. We make that sacrifice.
Yes. And my ears started to bleed a little bit last night watching these guys. But, you know, that's the price we have to pay. We've got a good insurance plan here. So there you go. So CNN's Matthew Chance in Ukraine, and that guy, he looked completely freaked out. Cut number two.
You've spoken exclusively with Ukrainian official about Biden's comments. What did they tell you?
Well, I mean, to say, Aaron, that they were displeased when they heard those comments would be an understatement. One of the officials that I spoke to said that he was shocked when he heard President Biden draw a distinction between an incursion and an invasion, and to suggest that if there was some kind of minor incursion into Ukrainian territory, then that would be treated differently and elicit lesser sanctions than a major invasion. It's not the kind of nuance we've heard before. It's certainly something Ukrainian officials say they've never heard spell that to them, although I understand it's that kind of sliding scale of sanctions depending on the seriousness of the Russian action that's being discussed privately.
And the Ukrainians have every right to be concerned. Now, before we go to Ernest here, I want to set this quote up for you. We don't have audio on this. This is something that was written by the Ukrainian President Zelensky on Twitter. Now, if you remember, go back in your history to President Biden. He lost his wife and his daughter in that tragic car accident. All right. You remember that. And it was a horrible moment. Well, Zelensky did an incredible job of illustrating this point about minor incursions. And here's what he wrote. We want to remind the great powers. And he's talking about he's talking about Biden and Putin here. We want to remind the great powers that there are no minor incursions and small nations, just as there are no minor casualties and little grief from the loss of loved ones. I mean, that was, folks, that was not backstab. That was right to the heart, full frontal right there, full frontal. And I feel bad for the Ukrainians. Now, look, I am not a hawk. We should avoid war at whatever cost. But we have obligations to protect Ukraine. We have agreements, and we have to live up to those obligations. And I want to explain to you real quick what happened yesterday. That was not a slip of the tongue. What Biden said yesterday is that the United States and the Russians have had secret meetings, and they have come to an agreement that we're going to turn a blind eye and we're going to let the Russians invade Ukraine. And we are going to allow a minor incursion, and we're not going to retaliate. Joe Biden just said the quiet secret part out loud yesterday. That's what happened. So the deal's already been made. The cat's already out of the bag. And now the Ukrainians are the ones that are going to be left out there. And it's a great question for a lot of people to be asking of this administration. Well, wait a second. How do we know that you have our back? How do we know that? 844-747-8868. Let's go to Mississippi. Ernest, listening to us on WPMO. All right, Ernest, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Todd. I heard you mention Newsmax. I believe he accidentally called him, but regardless, I can appreciate what you said about the question he asked. But I would have rather, because that's the kind of question Biden just say, I'm fine and leave it alone, which is what he did. I would have rather to hear something, because you don't get the few minutes of national notoriety to ask him. You say you've done a lot for the security of our country and the economy of our country. And then I was slamming with, you stopped the building of the wall. We have an invasion of illegal aliens. You stopped our pipeline. Tens of thousands of jobs were lost. But yet you go to Russia and allow them to open their pipeline, and we're back under OPEC. And whether he answered it or not, at least the question got out there. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, Ernest, it's, you know, I've been in a couple of those press conferences, and the way it works, typically there are a list of reporters that are called on, and right. you know if you're going to be able to ask a question. Now, when I was at the Obama presser years ago when he talked about the cops acting stupidly. And so I had three questions. What you do is you go in with three or four questions. So if somebody asks your question, you know, at least you've got something else to ask as you go down the line. There was, Ernest, there was so much that needed to be asked. And you're right. I mean, those are all very fair questions. And, yes, they should have been asked, but I just think they plumb ran out of time because of the fact that, you know, Biden's not doing these press conferences on a regular basis. So
right.
I appreciate James Rosen asking that question, because if Peter Ducey had asked it, it would have been completely dismissed, and or they would have attacked Ducey for the way he asked the question. You can't do that with James Rosen. So I hear what you're saying, but I think that Rosen, just in his tone and his delivery, really asked the question that people are talking about this morning, which is, man, even in CNN and MSNBC, that yes. something is not right with Biden.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. But, you know, like I said, I know it's a short time and everything, but I appreciate you letting me speak that as always, and I appreciate it.
Ernest, no, look, it's great insight, and we always appreciate you calling into the program. And again, I think it was just a matter of, okay, we don't have a lot of time here. How do you cut through the noise of that press conference? And Rosen did it just with his delivery. Do we have the James Rosen audio? I want to go back. Let's go back and listen to James Rosen asking the question of the night.
Thank you very much for this honor. James Rosen with Newsmax. I'd like to raise a delicate subject, but with utmost respect for punishments and the high office you hold. A poll released this morning by Politico Morning Consult found 49% of registered voters disagreeing with the statement, Joe Biden is mentally fit. Wow. Not even a majority of Democrats who responded strongly affirmed that statement.
Well, I'll let you all make the judgment whether they're correct.
Well, thank so you. The question I have for you, sir, if you'd let me finish, is why do you suppose such large segments of the American electorate have come to harbor such profound concerns about your cognitive fitness? Thank you.
I have no idea. Yes, sir.
A brand new poll just out today, and this is not a Fox News poll, even though they're just as liberal as the rest of them, but this is from the Associated Press, and I want you to hear these numbers. And the Democrats are freaking out right now because they see what's happening, and they know it's over. Biden was out there yesterday saying that he's going to be going out on the campaign trail and campaigning for Democrats. And I guarantee you a couple of people had to be taken to the ER for heart palpitations. They don't want that guy anywhere near him, and they sure don't want Kamala. So this new Associated Press poll just came out just a couple of hours ago. 56% of Americans, 56% say they disapprove of how Biden is handling his job as president. Only 28% of Americans say they want Biden to run for re-election in 2024. And get this, not even a majority of Democrats want the guy to run for re-election. I mean, what were the numbers for Trump? 80% among Republicans? 80, 85%? I mean, this is insane. In July, 59% of Americans said they approved of Biden's job performance. So his approval rating has dipped to 50% by late September, and it's only getting worse. And we're still talking about year one. So you watch what's going to happen. Biden is going to stumble his way into a shooting war with somebody, more than likely the Russians, if only to get his poll numbers up. It has happened before in American history, and it could happen again. I want to go back to this minor incursion. People are shocked that Biden would say something like that. Look, let me be clear about this. We've had major incursions on our border. Major incursions. And what has the president done? If he's not going to take care of the United States, you think he cares anything about the Ukrainians? Come on. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. By now, you've heard all the reports about Nancy Pelosi making up to $30 million in stock trading on big tech companies and the politicians who flout the China virus rules. Remind me, Grace, I got to tell you my China virus story after the break.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
I'm a little particular when it comes to bath towels. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I want to tell you about my good buddy, Mike Lindell, over at MyPillow. Not only do they make great pillows, they also make incredible towels. Mike found the best towel company right here in the USA, and they have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft, but actually work. Again, all made with USA cotton, and they come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Here's what you're going to get. A six-piece towel set, normally $109, but now only $39.99. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes, and you are going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including those awesome towels. Enter the promo code STARNES or call 800-839-8506 for this incredible radio special. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes.
Guys on the Facebook live stream are cracking me up. Phyllis writes in, Todd, Hitlery will be worse than Biden. I love it. Hitlery will be worse than Biden. She will destroy the country, and she'll be aware of it. Lord, have mercy on us. I think that's a very... Oh, Gail says, Todd, did you see Rachel Madcow's face? I thought she was going to break into tears. That was a beautiful moment. Someone sent me a screenshot because I was watching CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
I wonder if Judge Joe Brown was, too. And then Teresa says, Todd, Harris had to remind Savannah Guthrie that she's the vice president. Oh, that was cringeworthy today. Ugh, real ugly. Oh, we've got that audio. Let's take a listen.
Is Vladimir Putin likely to listen to a later statement from the White House press secretary or the words of President Biden?
I will repeat myself. And I'm Vice President of the United States, and the President and I work closely together, and I know his position because he has been consistent in that regard. If Vladimir Putin and Russia takes aggressive action, it will be met with a cost that will be severe.
All right, golly, wow. All right, let's go to the phones. Joe in Iowa, welcome to the program.
Hey, Todd. You asked how the Ukrainians are going to know that we've got their back. They're going to know the same way that the Biden administration has their back. The same way the Afghanis and the citizens over in Afghanistan that Biden administration has their back too.
Yeah,
not a problem.
Joe, it's just like Benghazi. We won't, honestly, we don't even protect our own people.
No, why would we protect anybody else?
Yeah, Joe, I was somewhat horrified. You know, when you sit back and you analyze what was said, I mean, could you imagine being a Ukrainian right now and realizing that the leader of the free world just gave you to the Russians, because Putin knows that he owns Biden right now.
Yep. China does too.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. And that's a whole other story. So, but I'm telling you, a deal was struck in secret, and now it's all out there, and the fix was in from day one. And I know the White House is trying to walk all of this back, and they can't. They can't. And it's out there. The Ukrainians know it. The Russians certainly know it. So we're going to see how all of this plays out. But it could very well be that the only thing that saves Joe Biden is a shooting war with the Russians. And even then, I'm not sure that the progressives in his own party would go along with that. Folks, a lot more to talk about. Wow, it's this hour just flew by. 844-747-8868. Again, the best, most intelligent, and dare I say, beautiful audience in all of talk radio. You guys are the best. Stick around. We've got another hour coming up next. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Allison Harris.
Thank you, Mr. President. Speaking of voting rights legislation, if this isn't passed, do you still believe the upcoming election will be fairly conducted and its results will be legitimate?
Well, it all depends on whether or not we're able to make the case to the American people that some of this is being set up to try to alter the outcome of the election. And it's one thing, look, maybe I'm just being too much of an optimist. Remember how we thought not that many people were going to show up to vote in the middle of a pandemic? We had the highest voter turnout in the history of the United States of America. Well, I think if, in fact, no matter how hard they make it for minorities to vote, I think you're going to see them willing to stand in line and defy the attempt to keep them from being able to vote. I think you're going to see the people we're trying to keep from being able to show up showing up and making the sacrifice it needs to be made in order to change the law back to what it should be. But it's going to be difficult. I make no bones about that. It's going to be difficult. But we're not there yet. We've not run out of options yet. And we'll see how this moves.
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That was President Biden yesterday saying that he believes, and he doubled down on this assertion, that he believes the midterm elections will be illegitimate, that there will be voter fraud. And as President Trump points out, this is what he's been saying all along. And in response to him saying that, he's been brought up on all sorts of charges and accusations. But Joe Biden goes out there and says the exact same thing, and people do nothing. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And by the way, welcome to the Todd Stern's radio show. Good to have you with us. Hour two of the show. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, the great congressman from Arizona, Andy Biggs, joins us. Congressman, what a press conference yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. It was like watching a train wreck in slow motion. I mean, the comments that you just played about the elections. How about basically inviting Putin to have some a minor incursion into Ukraine? How about basically undercutting all of our foreign and domestic policy in about a two-hour period, which just goes along with his entire presidency? It was terrible to watch, and I was embarrassed for the guy.
And Congressman, I mean, you talk about, and we mentioned this in the last hour of the program, you talk about minor incursions. We've got major incursions happening on our southern border, and they're doing nothing about it.
You're exactly right. I just got intel from a couple of different agents this morning, and they sent me a recording of the gunshots fired just south of the border in San Luis, Sonora, which is across from Yuma. And Todd, it sounds like a war zone. I mean, you got automatic weapons being fired. They tell me that drones are being used to drop bombs on enemies over there. This is what's going on because the cartels control the border instead of our Border Patrol because of the Biden policies and Mayorkas' policies. It's a national security threat. It is an invasion. And, gosh, these guys, for those reasons alone, those two guys should be impeached.
You know, and look, had that been Donald Trump saying all those things yesterday, he would have been impeached last night, and we would be talking about a trial today. But even still, though, I am somewhat surprised and encouraged that folks over at CNN and MSDNC understand how bad things are and how bad this president is.
Well, they've taken it, in the shins because they've been kicked in the shins because they have been apologists for Biden, and so they're losing viewership. And so they're taking the ratings, and that's the way this should work because they are trying to apologize for him, but they can't apologize. They can't keep apologizing for him. Couldn't they really? I mean, if Trump would have said what you played on the election integrity bit for 2022, if Trump would say that, he did say stuff like that. They impeached him. They call it the big lie. They continue to harass anybody who questions 2020. And it leads to a big, big question here. If 2020 was a perfect election and great and the best election ever, then why do you need two bills that would nationalize elections? It just begs that question. And they're inconsistent. It's all about control and power. It always has been about that with these guys, and that's what they want.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend Congressman Andy Biggs from Arizona. Congressman, what are you hearing from Democrats up on Capitol Hill in response to this press conference last night?
Nobody wants to talk about it. Just to be honest with you, I think that they can't apologize for it. They can't defend it. I read a couple of pieces where left-stream media was trying to defend it a little bit, but they can't even defend it, and it was not good. It was not good, but it's consistent with them, and a lot of my Democrat friends, they're going to run and campaign as if they're outside of D.C., as if they're not part of the Biden regime. They're not part of the Pelosi regime. It's going to be hard for them to do because most of them vote with Pelosi 95 to 100% of the time. And Pelosi's advocating for and doing the most radical parts of the Biden agenda. But they do want to distance themselves. That I guess that's the message, Todd, is Democrats would like to distance themselves as much as possible.
Well, the one thing I was very excited about, Congressman, when President Biden said, yeah, I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be out campaigning for all these Democrats. And I'm like, please do. And bring yeah. Kamala with you.
Absolutely right. But Kamala can't go with him because she's going down to the Honduras to find out the climate change is the root cause problem. And she's going to try to build up the Honduran economy, the Honduran border, the Honduran crime rates to lower those. Everything down in Honduras rather than in the United States. And if I was Honduras, I'd be scared to death that Kamala Harris was going to come in and try to help us.
Congressman, I want to switch gears here. I was so proud of the Republicans in the Senate last night. They stood their ground, and my hat is off to Mitch McConnell. I thought he did a terrific job. Also, Joe Manchin and Sinema standing toe-to-toe against their own party, and I have to imagine that the vitriol directed at them has been horrifying, but they all stood their ground, and we won the day.
We did, and you know, kudos to McConnell. He kept everybody in line, and then also special kudos to Sinema and Manchin, and they are just blistering them. The Democrats and the left are blistering those two and going after them in ways that I haven't seen. I mean, we don't do that on Cheney and Kinzinger. I mean, we can't get our leaders to even remove them from committees or out of our conference.
That's a good point.
And yet the Democrats are going after them like crazy. And I will tell you, Sinema's going to hold strong. She's going to hold strong.
We're, looking to the midterms and then beyond, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt in the media playing up this alleged kerfuffle between Ron DeSantis and President Trump. I mean, you're in the know. What are you hearing? Do you have any insight into what's going on? Even Hannity said on his radio show a couple of days ago, he doesn't know what's going on.
I really don't know what's going on there. Look, there's two very strong leaders, and I really can't tell what's going on.
Well, no, I get it. I just, you know, we've got to make sure that there are people behind the scenes that are saying, guys, we've got to get it together, you know, because we do have to be unified here. These party squabbles are going to hurt us if we're not focused on the big picture here.
I agree with you. And we've got to be unified so we can keep our base. And then we need to be unified because that influences the independent voter that will decide the elections. And that's really, you know, if we're disunited, if we're divided, we're not going to have the success that we should have.
It's a fair point. All right, Congressman, always good hearing from you. And by the way, we would love to get, and maybe you could send that, to have your folks send that stuff to us, that audio of the gunfire on the border. We would love to hear that.
Okay, I'll see if we can get that out to you.
All right, thanks a lot, Congressman. Andy Biggs there. And folks, I'm sure Grace will be in touch with the congressman's office, and we'll try to get that audio of what he said sounded like a war zone. All that gunfire, they're using drones to drop bombs. I mean, this is happening on our border. So if Joe Biden wants to talk about incursions, let's have that conversation, but let's talk about what's happening on our southern border. I mean, geez aloo. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So last night or early this morning, something very horrible happened in New York City. No, it has nothing to do with people being thrown in front of the subways. This is a different issue. The statue of Theodore Roosevelt, our 26th president, has been standing in front of the Museum of Natural History for more than 80 years. And it is if you've been to the museum, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's an iconic statue. If you've seen the movie, Night at the Museum? Yeah, Night at the Museum. Teddy Roosevelt plays a very important role in all of that. And in the wee hours of the morning, the statue was removed from its pedestal. And we also understand that there are two other images. There is a statue of an African man and a statue of a Native American man. And those two were hauled away. More than 80 years, Teddy Roosevelt has been on horseback in front of the Natural History Museum. But now they have a lot of people that are out there saying that the statue glorifies colonialism and racism. And it had to be removed. It had to be torn down. Ladies and gentlemen, as I have been warning you for many years now, we are in the throes of a culture jihad in the United States of America. Now, back in the early 2000s, when the Taliban took charge of Afghanistan, what did they do? The first thing they did was target the cultural centers of Afghanistan. You might remember the stories of the beautiful Buddha statues, ancient statues that were literally blown to smithereens, turned to rubble. And they've done this, the Islamic radicals actually go out there, and that's what they do. They invade your country, they destroy your history. And that's exactly what's happening in this country. That's why they're tearing down all the Confederate statues. They're tearing down all the monuments to the founding fathers. They're banning books and music. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And so this morning, in the wee hours, they tore down the statue of Teddy Roosevelt. Do we know where it's? We don't know where it's going, do we? I mean, is it being burned? Is it being melted? We don't know. But it's a pretty shameful thing. The decision came after the New York City Public Design Commission voted last June to relocate the monument. Now, what I'm about to say might irritate some of you, but maybe it just needs to be said. I've noticed here in Memphis, Tennessee, our city council, which is controlled by the Democrats, they're actually digging up dead bodies of Confederate war generals that they don't like. So they don't even want Confederate people buried here in the city of Memphis. All right, it is what it is. They want to rename Poplar Avenue, which is the major thoroughfare. Our studios are right off of Poplar Avenue, and they want to rename that Black Lives Matter Avenue. Poplar's not even named after a Confederate war general. It's named after a tree. But that's not good enough for these people. And they're renaming a lot of the streets. They're renaming a lot of the streets there. And buildings. If you're at a university campus and you got a building and the building is named after a white guy, then that building has to be renamed. So I don't know. And Grace Baker, maybe we just have to rip the Band-Aid off of this gaping flesh wound that has been inflicted on our country by the left. But maybe we ought to just make an overarching decision. Any street, any building, any university, any statue, any monument, any painting, any film, any piece of artwork that is named after or was created by a white man should be completely eradicated.
That would probably save a lot of time.
And renamed after a person of color.
That would save a lot of time.
Wouldn't that save a lot of time?
Just have a national
national come to Jesus moment.
There you go.
And just go ahead and ban anything in America from being named after a white man. And then after you do that, you can go after the white women. But initially, you know, it's the white guys that are causing all the problems. Because that's what they want, and that's what they're doing.
So we'd have to change the name of your show.
Drip by Drip. No, because I self-identify.
Oh.
So that's my loophole.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
One step ahead.
Yo. I'm just saying. All right, my man. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Tim Van Horn, the morning show anchor at our great flagship station, KWAM, in Memphis, writes in, Todd, is it true that they were serving pudding and Werther's Originals at the White House press briefing room? No, I don't think so. Maybe the pudding, Tim, and some cottage cheese, but those Werther's, that might be tough on the dentures. So there you go. All right, Grace, you were giving me this strange look as we went to break, as I told you I self-identify.
You do you, Todd.
Yo, my brother.
I can't judge.
Yo, my brother.
I'm not going to ask any questions.
All right. I can even do some rap and hip-hop.
Please don't.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, if push comes to shove, I'm going to pull a Rachel Dolezal and self-identify. I'm just saying.
Elizabeth Warren.
Pocahontas. Wow, we haven't heard from her in a long time.
Oh, she's still making the rounds.
I remember back in the day, every time Pocahontas was on, every time I mentioned her name, you could hear drum beats in the background. Like, I don't know what that was all about. But and you know, she's watching and she's thinking, wow, this is my opportunity here.
Oh, she's been on, I've seen her on some interviews, basically. And, you know, they're like, oh, is Joe Biden going to run in 2024? And she's like,
it's all about Hillary Clinton and she is on, you know what, she smells the blood in the water.
Oh yeah.
And she's ready to pounce like a puma in pantsuits. And she's gonna, this is gonna be very entertaining to watch the Democrats, because you're gonna have AOC and her crowd saying the problem is they're just not progressive enough. I told you we should have banned hamburgers. If we had only banned hamburgers and airline travel, the Democrats would be in ship shape.
At least she's honest about what she wants.
Oh, yeah, I'll give her that much credit. But she's still a moron.
Oh, yeah.
All right, look, got to take a break. We got Jerry the Liberal coming up and all sorts of great guests. We have Monica Crowley, Hogan Gidley. It'll be a lot of fun. And your calls, 844-747-8868. Do you have a problem with the Teddy Roosevelt statue? Where do you draw the line, America? We'll be right back. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Good to have you with us. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Jerry in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Jerry, what's going on today?
Hey, Todd. I do disagree with you. Not completely. I don't know if I would remove the Teddy Roosevelt statue, personally. I can see the arguments of some people, but in a lot of ways, he's a hero of mine. So he was one of the last great Republican presidents. But in the idea of removing statues, I'm not completely opposed to looking. We had a King George III statue in New York City that was removed. That wasn't taking away history. We just weren't honoring a foreign king we were rebelling against. Nazi statues were taken out in Germany after World War II. Statues to Lenin, over 1,000 were removed by the country Ukraine. That's not erasing history. We shouldn't be honoring someone who we shouldn't honor. That's what the point of statues is, not to remember history. It's to honor someone, or it's like a street. If you don't think a person should be honored, don't honor them. And people aren't obligated to honor someone they find a horrible person.
What about George Washington or Thomas Jefferson? Because Thomas Jefferson was removed from the chambers of the New York City Council.
Right. Okay. I wouldn't remove them personally, but I don't think that we should say we should have no debate. One of the arguments is that
Jerry, there is no debate. That's the problem. It's you will do this or you're just as bad as the person's statue that we're trying to remove.
Yeah, well, what I'm stating is that we should be open to the arguments of listening to the other side. One of the arguments is that, you know, they own slaves. And I see that, and people can make that argument, but I still think the contributions to America is still greater. To disagree with what you're going to disagree with is the Confederacy wasn't built on – the Confederacy whole purpose, I know you're going to disagree with that, was slavery, was the keeping human beings as slaves. And we shouldn't honor that. You know, Robert E. Lee's statues only exist because he's a general in the Civil War. They don't have anything to do with his Mexican-American war involvement. You know, so we shouldn't be honoring people who fought for a bad or an evil cause.
And Jerry, you're not, but the people who put up those statues and paid for those statues were. And for the most part, they were put up by the sons or the daughters of the Confederacy honor the war debt. Now, and I know this is hard for people outside. No. This is difficult for people outside of the South to understand. But less than 1% of the population owned slaves. So for the most part, an overwhelming number of the people who lived in the South were very poor, and a lot of whites, very poor white people, were sharecropping alongside blacks. So it's easy to misunderstand what the South was actually like. And again, it is what it is. And, you know, thank God we don't have slavery in America anymore. That was the greatest sin and scourge on this nation. But the reality is there was a lot more going on in the southern states, and it's really easy for people to say, oh, this is all about slavery. But it wasn't.
No, the Southern Founding Fathers said about slavery. Even though most Southern whites didn't own slaves, doesn't mean that the reason for secession wasn't over slavery. The Southern state constitution, the Confederate state constitution, were clear that it was over slavery. Alexander Stevens, vice president of the Confederacy, said that.
Yeah, and I'm not disputing that at all, Jerry. What I'm saying is that for the average person in some small southern town, they're going around door to door, you know, taking up a collection to build a memorial. It's not to Robert E. Lee. It's for the regular folks, the farmers, the sons who died fighting in the war. And that's very clear when you read the statues. And the point is we've got to stop eradicating our history. Jerry, got to run. Great call. We've got Jason Miller on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're going to shift gears here. Jason, good to have you with us, and congratulations on the massive milestone over at Getter.com.
Well, Todd, thank you very much, man. You were obviously an early adopter of the Getter platform, and we would not have reached the success that we're at without you. So folks know, because I had the opportunity to join you a couple of times, we are now right about 4.5 million people who are globally who are now on the Getter platform, and we've grown by 50%, about 1.5 million people just over the last 2.5 weeks, which is absolutely nothing short of phenomenal. But none of that happens without Todd Starnes and Todd Starnes Nation. And so I just posted on Getter a moment ago that I'd be joining you to make a minor incursion into American radio greatness. And so it's good to be back with you, and it's a pretty exciting moment.
I love it. This is awesome. Jason, one of the things we love about Getter, and you guys have been great about sharing our content, our stories, and that's, you know, over on Twitter, you know, even though we had this massive following, very few people would ever see our content, you know, because of the shadow banning. And I tell people the great thing about Getter is that we get a lot of the liberal trolls, and that's okay, because we want that conversation. We want to be able to have that debate. And I appreciate you guys actually putting together a free speech platform.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, this is one of the things that we've set out to say is that a couple of things. Number one, you can have an alternative free speech platform, and it can be just as good, if not better, as anything big tech in Silicon Valley are going to put out. And I think for far too long, people have said, well, you can have something, but we're not going to allow it to be on any of the app stores, or we're not going to allow it to have good quality, or it's going to be kind of clunky or look like a B-team product. We said, nope, that doesn't work. We're going to build something that people can look and say, you know what? Getter is actually better, more features, cooler things, additional things that are even coming up here that even Twitter and Facebook and other platforms don't have. But the other thing, too, these erosions of our rights, I mean, just the simple fact of what happened with you because of the interaction with Mr. Fang Fang last week was just ridiculous. I mean, they are looking, these platforms are looking for a way to kick off anyone who thinks like Todd Starnes or Jason Miller anywhere in the country.
And just, you know, yesterday, day before yesterday, we were, we had posted a video on YouTube, of something that a very prominent evangelical pastor said regarding the whole transgender issue. And it was something from his sermon, and YouTube labeled that hate speech, pulled it off. You know what? That's okay, because that video, you can actually see it on Getter.com.
Exactly. And that's one of the things where we have our mission statement. When people ask me a lot of times, so you know, what separates you? What makes you different? Said, in addition to having a platform that functionally the user experiences, we're making social media fun again to shamelessly steal a line from my former boss, President Trump. But also, when we wake up and think about how we want to guide Getter on a day, it's to make sure that nobody is discriminated against politically for their beliefs or their free speech rights ever again. And as long as we have Getter, you're going to have a place where you can actually express yourself. Look, whether you're on the left, you're in the center, you're on the right, maybe just want to post pictures of your dogs, which is totally cool. If you download an account, want to post pictures of your dog, I post pictures of my golden doodle all the time. We love that too. It doesn't even have to be about politics, but we want to make sure users are treated the same, regardless of ideology. There's no editorializing. There are no banners that pop up and say, click here because it might be restricted content. That we have a place where you can communicate and express yourself, and nobody is going to come in and say, well, your opinion is no longer valid.
Getter, and one of the reasons I love Getter.com is that it is intelligent. I mean, the users are smart enough to know, you know, how they should be governing their lives. They don't need Getter. They don't need you or me telling them, okay, you know, you need to be wary of this or that. I mean, people are smart, and you guys have just created this wonderful platform. It's super easy to use. You've got the, we've got the app, the whole nine yards, and you're adding stuff all the time, so adding new features, and I love that.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that I would also say is that, you know, when we talk about Getter, I think we've really found that sweet spot of how you create a free speech platform where people can know that they're never going to be discriminated against politically, but you also keep the platform safe, where you don't have illegal content or racial or religious epithets or that kind of thing. Look, if that's your deal in life, which it's not mine, there are places you can go where if you think that that's what free speech is to have racial and religious epithets. If you care about your life, the direction of the country, in your community, you want to connect with friends, get breaking news, Getter is a great place for you. Just real quick, I want to let you know, in a couple of these cool upcoming features, right now for people who've been on Getter, G-E-T-T-R, Apple Store, Google Play Store, I would say Twitter and Facebook are two closest competitors. Where we go next, when we launch in a few weeks here, our Vision, our short video platform, will then be competing with TikTok and with Instagram Reels. And when we launch Getter Pay this summer, our two-coin crypto ecosystem, we're then going to be into the digital space and in the digital economy in a way where our competitors then become American Express, Visa, and no longer do some of these big companies have the stranglehold on folks who they don't view are in their quote-unquote favorite ideological set. So we're going to have a lot of fun, cool things that are coming. So I tell you, folks, stay tuned. Be listening to Todd Starnes. Come check out Getter, and freedom is here.
I love it. And Jason, real quick, before we let you go, one of the things that's really impressed me is that now the media cannot ignore you. You know, a lot of major publications doing some pretty good pieces on you guys and acknowledging that you have, I mean, you very well are the future post-Twitter world.
Exactly. And this is, to your point here, look, Twitter stock is down 40% since Getter launched 6 months ago. And so I'm not saying it's a coincidence. I'm just pointing out that, it's definitely part of the reason. Twitter's dead. The fact of the matter is Twitter is boring. There's a reason why Dorsey punched out. He saw the trend line. The Washington Post, believe it or not, Megan McArdle wrote that Twitter's business model is misery. When you wake up and look at Twitter, if you have a Twitter account, it's kind of that dread. It's like, you know, waking up and say you got to eat broccoli for breakfast or something like that, your digital broccoli. And you're looking like, what am I going to get here today? When you open up Getter in the morning, you know what? I'll tell you, one of the coolest things I love seeing in the morning, like, oh, here's Todd Starnes. Here's a Simon Conway. President Jair Bolsonaro. Here are people. Here's French presidential candidate Eric Zemmour or Sean Hannity or Tucker Carlson. Here are names that we know and that we like to hear from. And it kind of makes you feel like, okay, you know what? I feel like I'm home. I feel like here are people here that I can connect with. And not going to be full of the crazy Soros bots.
Great. Jason, always great to have you on, and we look forward to the new features coming up. Folks, GETTR.com, Getter.com. Todd Starnes is my handle. Jason Miller is Jason Miller's handle, and you can check out all of the great stuff happening there and make the migration over. You will not be disappointed. All right, Jason, we'll leave it there. Good talking to you.
Thank you, sir. I'll be listening tomorrow as well.
All right. Jason Miller, everybody, the founder of Getter. And folks, millions, over 4 million people already on Getter. And they actually promote and post a lot of our content. And we're mighty thankful for that. Grace, have you seen the story about M&Ms?
Oh, yes.
So M&Ms has announced that they are redesigning their little characters, you know, the little M&M candies.
Yep, I mainly think of the Christmas commercial, you know, that they play every year.
That's the Hershey Kisses with the bells ringing. What did the M&Ms do? I don't know what the M&Ms.
The M&Ms are sneaking in someone's living room. And
Santa Claus! Yes, and he passes out,
yes.
And then the big M&M passes out.
Yes,
is that the peanut M&M? I think.
Probably.
I think it is. M&Ms announced that they're redesigning their M&M characters in the commercials to represent a more dynamic, progressive world. And
they're M&Ms.
They're called lentils. That's what they call the characters, lentils. So M&Ms iconic characters, this is from CBS News. M&Ms iconic characters, six different colored lentils, have gotten a modern makeover for a more dynamic, progressive world.
I mean, they're already multiple colors.
The redesign is focused on creating a sense of belonging and community, as well as spotlighting the characters' personalities rather than their gender.
Personalities.
Now, there is a photograph, and we're going to post this. Caleb Park is working on a story on this. There are two M&Ms, and they are female M&Ms.
Yes.
The green M&M and the brown M&M. And they're sitting on a bench. And they're holding hands.
Yeah.
Are these lesbians? Are
I
these
think
lesbian?
So. And that's from all the way back in 2015. But, you know, this whole new campaign of theirs.
Maybe we just didn't. Maybe we didn't recognize it back then. I just thought they were being overly affectionate.
They were very naive.
Mm.
They're friends.
Yep. But and you, it could be they're not wearing. Well, one of them is wearing what appears to be Mexican man shoes, or are those boots? I can't tell.
I thought they were both wearing heels.
One of them is wearing heels. It's hard to tell about the other.
The other might be clogs.
Well, I mean, if they're going with the lesbian M&Ms, I guess that means no more nuts. Right? I'm just saying.
Todd.
Peanut M&Ms.
Todd.
I'm just saying, Grace. we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
So to Grace's point, I guess M&M's, the M&M candies now come in peanut, plain, and woke. There you go. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Connor in Boston wants to weigh in. Hey, Connor, what's going on?
Todd Starnes, my good friend. I originally called in to talk about Biden administration, their failures with foreign policy. But when Jerry called in before regarding the statues, you know, it's just listening to Jerry over the years, good guy, but it's made me a better Christian because it's taught me a lot more patience.
Yes.
But when it comes to the statues, how come every single time it is a Republican, it has something to do with the Republican Party, that these leaders of those times are not allowed to evolve on their positions? You have Hillary Clinton, you have Bill Clinton, you have Barack Obama, for just one example, who spoke incredibly against gay marriage back in the day. And now, again, through their time in office, now they're allowed to basically evolve their positions on this. When it comes down to, like, one of the Confederate generals, I believe it was Nathan Bedford Forrest, who did own slaves, it's like he evolved over time, and he did, you know, he determined that that was one of the greatest sins that he committed. And, again, they're tearing down his statues. They're doing all this kind of stuff down there. But when it comes down to the Democrats, when it comes down to those guys, it's like they're allowed to evolve on their positions, but the Republican Party, Republican leaders are not. And where does it stop with these people? I just don't understand. Why won't they just understand that people evolve their viewpoints over time? People educate themselves. I just don't understand their positions.
Connor, it's a great point you raised. And here's a very recent example. George Wallace, who in the 1970s became a born-again Christian and renounced his racist past and renounced segregation and spent the rest of his life working to undo the damage. I mean, this is about these are redemption stories that would make society better if only the full story and the context of the story was told. But they don't want to do that.
And real quick, too, no, that's 100% true. But it's like they don't understand that we are all human beings. And, you know, we are imperfect. But we have the goal in mind to be as, you know, to get better and to, you know, always kind of fulfill the vision that God has for us. You know, to become not perfect, but as perfect as we possibly can be in his image.
Well said. Well said, Connor. Good hearing from you and a great way to wrap up this hour of the program. Our favorite millennial, Connor from Boston, Massachusetts. By the way, folks, coming up next, our good friend Monica Crowley is going to drop by, and Hogan Gidley from Newsmax TV. And they're getting a lot of good play based on James Rosen's conduct at that press briefing yesterday, the press conference. Pretty great stuff. Hey, we got a line open here, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Have you downloaded the Todd Starnes Show app? You can do that right now in our live show blog. We've got the link, the live show blog, toddstarnes.com. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this America.
Rod Starnes. Oh, yeah.
You know, I really thought the best part of yesterday's press conference was watching the folks over at CNN, the most profane name in news.
Ryan Negro Network.
Thank you, Judge Joe Brown, for that observation. It was watching the folks over at CNN completely just be destroyed. It was as if their lives had ended. And the same thing over at MSDNC with Rachel Maddow getting a little emotional on air as they watched the demise of Joe Biden. I mean, we knew the policies were on life support. But now it looks like the entire administration is DOA. And Van Jones over on CNN last night, here's how he framed the discussion. Cut 28.
And I appreciate that, and I think a lot of Democratic voters appreciate that. That's the one time that you don't want to give any a fuzzy, foggy, let me tell you a long story answer, clear and direct. They are a team. He's standing together. They're gonna fight forward. And look, I think that part of the reason that answer stood out so much is because some of the other answers were kind of foggy and meandering. I think you just have to be honest that you can be a foggy, meandering a president, say like Reagan near the end, if you're winning. But if you're foggy and meandering on key questions and you're also not winning, then you've got a real problem.
So COVID-19 is not going to give up and accept things. It's not going to go away.
What?
Immediately.
What is he talking about? Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always great to have our good friend, Newsmax contributor Hogan Gidley with us. Hogan, I mean, you were in the comms department. What do you think the reaction was with Jen Psaki and her team as they watched all of this unfold?
Panic, confusion, concern. Thankfully, they are in complete and total, in a complete and total comfortable place with the mainstream media, knowing that whatever they put out to clarify something, it won't be treated as a clarification. It'll be treated as policy. Even though they're contradicting clearly with Ukraine and Russia, for example, the comments made by the President of the United States, and he had gone on at some length about this. It wasn't an offhanded comment. It wasn't a mistake. It was a calculated answer by Joe Biden, as calculated as he can be at this point, just outlining what he really thinks about the issue and not calling it an invasion, for example. That's a problem, and I think the American people saw it. But once again, here we are with the mainstream media, the Ivy League elites, telling us what's important, which is Russia and Ukraine, when a vast majority of the people in this country want to know about crime, want to know about inflation, want to know about why their paychecks aren't going as far as they used to, want to know about why our southern border is letting in 2 million people this past year, many of whom had COVID and spread COVID and did not have to abide by the same edicts and mandates that the American people had to. Those were the issues we cared about, and of course, they were not addressed at all. Joe Biden is so tone deaf, he's so out of it at this point, that the people like Jen Psaki and those in the comm shop can pretty much run the country with their comments that are in direct contradiction to Joe Biden, the elected president of the United States.
No, and it is incredibly troubling. I saw the statements that came out almost immediately after the press conference. And that is of cold comfort to the people running Ukraine right now, as they've got Russia on their doorstep ready to invade. And now the Ukrainians know whatever plan that was hatched in secret between the U.S. and the Biden administration and the Russians, now we know that they're about to lose a good sized chunk of their country for a little incursion.
Right. But remember, too, in addition to that great point, it is pretty interesting that the Ukrainian president came out and issued a statement in response to Joe Biden's, and it
was
not
brutal. No.
Right, because he understood there's no cleanup that can fix that. You invited an invasion by Russia and said it was pretty much okay, and we may slap him on the wrist, we may not, who knows, because, anything he's promised in the past, Joe Biden, he's not actually kept that promise as it relates to Syrian red lines, et cetera, from the previous administration before Trump. But still, you can't put that toothpaste back in the tube, regardless of Jen Psaki trying to clean it up. The president of the United States made that declaration,
And as I've said on your show before, people need to understand this. When the President of the United States speaks, it's not just the American people who hear it. It's not just the mainstream media that hears it. It's the world. Other leaders hear what he says, not to mention see what he does. So when he botches Afghanistan and allows millions and millions of women to get back into the subjugated roles they were in prior to American assistance, to be raped and murdered and other things, tortured, et cetera. When he leaves Americans stranded in that country, the world looks at that and goes, wait a minute. If this is how weak this guy is, maybe we should have a few tests to see what he's going to do to us as well. And so far, he's failed all the tests. Here's another one, and we'll have to see what he does. But I'm not hopeful, and I'm not optimistic.
No, I'm not either. And Hogan, as bad as this is to say, everybody knows that when this country goes to war, whoever's in the White House gets good polling numbers. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And they are so low right now with Biden, you wonder if that is going to factor into whatever's about to happen, because we all know something's about to happen.
Well, we do, but at the same time, I don't know how popular it is anymore. I really don't, because, you know, the last administration, we didn't get into a single foreign conflict. And, you know, President Trump kept the peace. And that, in large part, was popular with the American people. He did want to get out of Afghanistan, but he wanted to do it in the right way. He didn't want to leave people stranded. Joe Biden just has an opposite take. And remember, it was Secretary Gates under Barack Obama, the defense secretary, who made the point that, you know, Joe Biden's been wrong on every single foreign policy decision. It looks like we've seen another stark example of that.
I want to ask you a question, sort of taking a little detour here. I was listening to Sean Hannity a couple of days ago talking about the reports. They had a caller asking about the relationship between Governor DeSantis and President Trump. And Hannity, who is pretty darn close with the president, and DeSantis says, I don't know. He said, I just don't know what the relationship is. We had Congressman Andy Biggs on it a little while ago, and he pretty much said the same thing. Do you know what's going on there?
I think the media tries to blow some of those things up. Look, it was pretty clear Ron DeSantis was in a crowded primary field. Donald Trump came out and endorsed him, and DeSantis shot to the top and ended up winning. So DeSantis will even tell you, in large part, he is where he is because of Donald Trump. But, you know, like, I understand, as a governor too, you've got a constituency you have to serve. And, you know, it's a long way out from a presidential election. So having people, especially adept politicians like Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis, decide whether or not they're running for office or whether or not they're going to endorse the other person at this point is just an opportunity for the media to try and show some type of division when there probably really is none.
Back to the presser. That makes sense. And Hannity's whole point and mine is we've got to have unity. So everybody needs to get it together. Let's get the, you know, and you're right. The media is going to be the media, but we've got to unify. And as the Republicans in the Senate demonstrated last night, when you do unify, you could facilitate some good change and save the country from super bad policies.
Oh, no question. No question. And look, the Republican Party is unified right now against Joe Biden and against the horrific policies that are hurting the American people. And one of the things that Joe Biden did rhetorically in that presser yesterday was ask questions that made no sense, like, tell me what Republicans are for. Well, that's obvious. We're for closed borders. We're for lower taxes. We're for protection of life. We're for a tough stance against China. We're for open supply chains. We're for independence on oil and gas. Those are just a few things that people in this country are dealing with. We're for being tough on crime and ensuring our neighborhoods aren't being burned to the ground. So, you know, it was really ridiculous when he made, you know, rhetorical games part of that press conference, because the answers are pretty clear. The American people feel those policies. And when he said he overperformed, I think most people kind of rolled their eyes or shouted at their TV if they cared enough to even listen to him, because they know that's just not true.
No, Hogan. No. He is the best, worst president we've ever had. I don't
know. True. Very true.
All right. By the way, folks, you got to follow Hogan on the social media platforms. And what's it, those your nephews in the photo?
Some close friends, and they're just adorable. But I'm, for whatever reason, I don't think they could say my name, but I'm Uncle Ho-Ho, so
That's what I am.
Love it. I love. All right.
I'll take it.
Yeah, we'll just go with Hogan. That's good. Hogan Gidley, great American patriot. Follow him. We've got links to all of his social media platforms over on the Live Show blog, and you can also see his great work on Newsmax. And Hogan, please give our best to James Rosen. I thought he hit it out of the ballpark yesterday.
He did. Good question. Good reporter. He was spied on by the last administration, so yep. Believe me. If anyone's got an axe to grind, it's him. We'll see what he reports coming, coming down the pipe.
All right. Thanks, Hogan. All right. Got to run. Hogan Gidley, everybody, right there. A great American patriot. All right. I've got to tell you guys about AMAC, which I am now a member of. It's for folks 50 or older. Are you 50 years of age or older? If you are, you're going to want to check out the Association of Mature American Citizens. Nearly 2 million members, including myself. And one of the things I love about AMAC is they are fighting to stop the out-of-control spending in the president's Build Back Better scheme. It is far from over. Congress plotting more legislation that could hurt senior adults. And the midterm elections will be a battle of freedom versus socialism. And that's why we need to support AMAC, America's conservative action-oriented 50-plus organization. They're fighting every single day for you in Washington, D.C. and across the nation. And folks, one of the really cool things about AMAC, it's not like the leftist over at AARP. You're going to get great membership benefits, including AMAC discounts on hotels, travel, restaurants, all sorts of other great things. But best of all, your membership supports your values. So go to amac.us/Todd. That's amac.us/Todd. And you'll be able to become a member. It just takes a few minutes. That's amac.us/Todd. And join the America or the Association of Mature American Citizens. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, the big story of the past couple of days, of course, DirecTV dropping One America News from their platform. DirecTV owned by AT&T. Those of you who have an AT&T cell phone, I want you to listen to me for a moment. You've got to drop your plan right now. We've got to start sending a message to these big companies that have gone full-blown woke and are using their profits to declare war on freedom-loving Americans. And that's one of the reasons I want to encourage you to switch to Patriot Mobile. They are America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They share our beliefs, and they're using their money to support causes we care about. And by the way, if you switch to Patriot Mobile right now, use my promo code Todd. They're going to give you free activation and a free gift. Patriot Mobile has incredible nationwide coverage, and so many of you have reached out and said, Todd, I made the switch, could not be happier. And we would love to hear from you and give us a call if you've made the switch to Patriot Mobile. They've got plans to fit any budget, along with incredible discounts for veterans and first responders. So here's what you need to do. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. You can also give them a call. By the way, customer service, American. How about that? 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Be sure to use my promo code, Todd, and they're going to give you a special discount and free premier activation. Love our friends over there at PatriotMobile.com. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868, North Carolina. Don wants to weigh in on this press conference. Hey, Don, what's up?
Hey, Todd, I just thought I would throw back a little bit of history there on those comments about the appeasement thought that Biden was making. That brings back to memories history. In the 1930s, a world leader named Neville Chamberlain made appeasement to another newly appointed world leader, and he gave away a little bit of France and a little bit of Czechoslovakia, and we wound up with World War II. And that other leader was Adolf Hitler.
It is a very look. You know what, Don? You're right. I mean, the parallels are shocking and frightening. But we've got our own Neville Chamberlain in the White House right now. To your point.
Yep, I agree.
By the way, that reminds me, Don. Hold on, before we, I want to play some audio here. That reminds me, Joe Biden was talking about this was the first time that that anybody had ever invaded a European country. Let's play this audio.
Of course, you have to be concerned when you have, you know, a nuclear power invading. If he invades, it hasn't happened since World War II. This is the most consequential thing that's happened in the world in terms of war and peace since World War II.
That's not true. As a matter of fact, Russia invaded Ukraine during the Obama administration. It's just unbelievable the lies and the ignorance spewing out of that man's mouth yesterday.
I agree with you entirely. It was just something that came to mind, and I remember the end result of the other one that I told you about. So
we are stumbling our way into an armed conflict with the Russians, and that is a very dangerous place to be. And the Chinese are lurking, and you better believe Iran is paying close attention to all of this as well. Don, to your point, it really is looking like the perfect storm. Got to run. Appreciate the call, Grace Baker. So I'm getting ready to have the cataract surgery on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
So I get a call from the hospital, and they're like, we need you to bring a China virus test with you. And I'm like, okay, well, wait a second. They said, well, you can't have the surgery without the China virus test. I'm having cataract surgery. So I said, well, okay. I said, where do you recommend I get one? Because you can't get a test. I mean, it's impossible.
It's very difficult.
So they said, well, we don't know. You may have to go to Jackson, which is like, 90 miles away
yes.
to get a China virus test? And I've got to have one before Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, wait a second. I said, what about a home test? Will that work? And they said, no, we will not accept a home China virus test. And I said, well, why not? And they said, well, those aren't accurate.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm like, wait, what? The president says they're accurate.
They're mailing them out to everybody.
That's right, the CDC. So if they're not accurate, then why are we having to take these home tests?
What are we doing?
What's going on here? You know what this is all about? This is not about public health and safety. This is about the almighty dollar. This is about, so whoever's making these home test kits, they're in with the Biden administration, they're in with Big Pharma, and they're sticking it to we the people. That's what's going on. But honest to goodness, folks, I was just told by the Hamilton Eye Clinic, the Hamilton Eye Center, that those home tests are not accurate, and they don't use them, and they refuse to operate on anybody who uses the home test. There you go. So go figure. All right, we'll be right back, America. The only people that thought Joe Biden did a great job yesterday were the people over at National Public Welfare Radio. And no, I'm not kidding. The tweets coming out were just shocking. With Yamichi is president, and here's what she. I'm going to read this to you. This is what Yamichi. She is the reporterette over at National Public Welfare Radio. President Biden is the longest news conference in presidential history. It was fabulous. Made news, pushed back on critics, called out the lies, took responsibility for the mistakes he believes he made. By the way, she doesn't even acknowledge he made mistakes. She's saying that he said he made mistakes. Expressed surprise that the GOP talked foreign policy and didn't lash out on reporters. Quite the change. Oh, it was fabulous. Please don't cut our funding. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good friend Monica Crowley joins us. Monica, oh my word.
Hi, Todd.
You know, there's just so much that happened at that press conference. What is the takeaway for you?
So much happened. None of it good. Certainly none of it good for either the president or the country. You know, this was a total train wreck, and it was obvious, like within the first couple of minutes, why the communication shop in the White House does not send him out to do more of these things or to do a press conference more often, because he's meandering, he's not focused, he's contradictory, he is incoherent. And in the case of yesterday, actually gave a green light to one of our worst adversaries to invade another country. So this is really serious. I mean, it sounded like he had been briefed and prepped, and he tried to stick to the script, but there were so many points where he was off base and off balance that, you know, when the president is off base and off balance, he puts the country and all of our allies and global peace and global stability and the global economy off base and off balance. So all in all, it was a really bad performance yesterday, and I think it really reinforced to most Americans, except for Yamiche, how desperately bad this president is. And the idea that we have three more years of this is not only dangerous, but desperate for the rest of us.
I mean, it really is shocking, and we've talked at length about the foreign policy disaster, which could have some significant implications down the road. But now you've got these numbers. I mean, when you talk about the domestic agenda, gas prices up 49.6%. You've got the price of beef up 18.6%, eggs 11%, coffee 6.9%, rent prices 3.8%. Monica, this is, I mean, the Democrats have to be terrified because they know what's about to happen to them in the midterm elections.
Well, that's right. I mean, they are not really paying attention to the two things that every American need every single day. They need gas, whether or not they have a car, everything that they purchase or use has fuel built into it because our truckers, trains, things move across oceans. They move across the country in order to get in your hands. So fuel prices, gasoline, and food. You need food to live. So every time you go to the grocery store or go to a restaurant, and it doesn't have to be Danielle for $1,000 for the meal. I'm talking like McDonald's, their prices are going up. Everything is going up. Life is very expensive now, and everybody sees it because they're confronted with it every day. This is not like some obscure kind of thing that people really have to study to understand. They understand it every day, and they're feeling the impact, and they're holding the president accountable as they should. Inflation is a regressive tax. So this whole line over this last year from the Biden team about, well, we're not going to raise taxes on the middle class, the working class, or the poor. You all don't have to worry about it. We only want to soak the rich. Well, that sounded nice, except inflation, thanks to them, has gotten so out of control that those rising prices affect the middle, working class, and the poor most of all, because they're least able to withstand rising prices because their wages are just not matching it. So they're being outstripped by inflation. So they're actually hurting the constituencies that they claim to champion the most.
At this point, the most pressing issue is making sure the Republicans can control Congress so they can put a stop to a lot of these horrible, awful policies. Now, my question to you is what the Republicans need to be focused on moving towards the midterm elections.
Well, I think that the comparison of the previous 4 years under President Trump, particularly on the economy, is a comparison that every Republican needs to make. So they need to say, when we were in control, when we had the White House, and for most of the time when we had the Congress control, here's what you were able to enjoy: a booming, thriving economy and basically world peace. Okay, so you had the Trump administration with peace through strength, particularly in the Middle East with the Abraham Accords. but he also delivered a booming economy here at home. So people really care about that. They care about the things that directly affect their lives. And when I say peace, I don't just mean international peace. I also mean peace at home in terms of crime was under control. Your lives, your direct lives, were so much better under President Trump and the Republicans. So if I'm a Republican running against an incumbent Democrat or running for office in an open election or whatever the case might be, I want to make that comparison every day, particularly on the issues that directly affect the American people. Inflation, prices, crime, the wide open border, those things that Americans, that poll after poll show, really care about, that directly affect them every minute of every day, that's the stuff that they need to be talking about and saying, look, if you liked your life, if you had an easier and an improved life when the Republicans were in charge, well, here is your chance now to go back to that time by electing us, because we will promise to do whatever we can to try to restore those good economic times.
Monica Crowley is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Monica, there is a weird story out from the University of Pennsylvania. It has nothing to do with the swim team. The Wharton School of Business, one of the top business schools in the nation, I believe President Trump went there. One of the professors asked her students a question. She was just curious what they think the average American brings home. How much money does the average American bring home? One of the students actually said $800,000 a year. Monica,
we wish.
Right, exactly. Most of the students say that the average American brings home well over $100,000 a year, when in fact the actual numbers are nowhere near that much money. I mean, there's just, what are we teaching our kids these days? This is bizarre to me.
Well, that poll also probably has a skewed sample, because those kids who are Wharton, unless they're there on scholarship or some other reason, you know, they're drawing from a very wealthy background for the most part, those students who are there. So they probably have a warped sense of how the rest of America lives. But, you know, if they are operating under that assumption and they are soon to be America's leaders, you know, this is why you have a big problem. You've got this huge disconnect between our leaders who say and do one thing, and then policy ends up hurting the people who desperately need assistance in this kind of economy. So the disconnect between the ruling class and everybody else in America is stark, and it's growing. And it's something that President Trump understood implicitly, the forgotten man and woman who were left behind by globalization and these kinds of inequities that the ruling class just takes for granted because they benefit from it. He understood that viscerally and was able to gain political success because he was able to get it. But then once he was in office, actually delivered for the forgotten man and woman. You don't see a lot of that now. And that's why, you know, when people say, how did Trump get elected? Well, that's why. How is Trump going to get reelected? That's why.
Well, and to your point, that was the issue I was trying to raise here, is I think the Ivy League schools are so disproportionately represented in our government, whether in all three branches. And, you know, we joke around and I think we need a Judge Wapner on the Supreme Court. I mean, we need somebody who has not graduated from Yale or Harvard on the Supreme Court. Otherwise, you get a skewed sense of what this country is really all about. And if we all know how leftist, you know, both of those schools are these days.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it points to the bigger problem that I pointed out about the ruling class and how they sit on top of it all and they sit above all of us. They are our betters, according to them. But they are completely out of touch and disconnected with the people they lord over.
That's right.
And I don't care whether we're talking about the economy or the Constitution via the Supreme Court or the COVID policies or whatever it might be. They do not have to suffer the consequences of the rulings and the laws and mandates that they put in place. It's the elite ruling class versus everybody else. They get into their chauffeur-driven cars, Mercedes or whatever, and they go home every night. They're not living in crime-ridden neighborhoods. They're not dealing with the mandates the way we have to deal it. We've seen the hypocrisy all over the place. It is a hierarchy in this country and, frankly, in the West. And it's up to us to push back because we always forget, myself included, that the power rests in our hands, Todd. This country is built on the consent of the governed. That's us. So if we don't consent and we pull back and stop complying, they will have no choice but to pay attention.
Yep, you're right about that. Monica, got to leave it there. Always great to have you on the show. And folks, we have links to all of Monica's pages there on ToddStearns.com in the live show blog. Monica, good to hear from you.
Always a pleasure, Todd. Thanks.
All right. Monica Crowley, everybody. By the way, have you heard the story? This is out of Germantown, Tennessee. Our good friend Tim Van Horn sent this over to us. So there's a big controversy going on within the Germantown, Tennessee school system, where students have been punished for not wearing their face coverings, and they were sent to in-school suspension. And apparently, a number of these kids had some sort of an issue. I think one of the kids had cystic fibrosis, and it was very difficult for that individual, that student, to wear a mask. But the kids are getting punished, thrown into in-school suspension. Now, this is a suburb of Memphis, which is supposedly a conservative area of the metropolitan Memphis area. And the school district and the parents make a great point. So they're saying, wait a second. They were not even allowed to address the school board meeting last night. So what did they do? They picked up the phone and they contacted the morning show at KWAM. This is the power of radio, ladies and gentlemen, because when the school board shuts you out, guess what? You can pick up the phone and you can give your radio station a call. So anyway, the parents are making a pretty darn good argument, and they're saying, well, wait a second. So you're telling us that the kids have to wear a mask when they're in the class, but the kids don't have to wear a mask if they're playing basketball or if they're wrestling or if they're cheerleaders. Well, exactly. It's a double standard. So let's hope that the freedom-loving moms and dads and taxpayers in Germantown, Tennessee, you call that local school system and you give them a piece of your mind and tell them I said to call, because I'm a taxpayer there too. This story from the Washington Examiner, Jeremiah Poff is the education reporter there. A Los Angeles area charter school barred a group of unvaccinated students from attending class Tuesday and cordoned off the area where the students were with tape barriers. What is it, a crime scene? New West Charter School in Los Angeles confirmed that they had implemented a vaccine and negative test mandate for students, and that a group of unvaccinated students had staged a sit-in on campus and refused to leave the school. This is what it's all about, folks. Civil disobedience. Nonviolence. Follow the teachings of MLK. And this story, our Liberty University student worker, Charlotte, sent this over. There is a very popular pub in D.C. called the Big Board. And this bar decided not to impose mandates on customers. So if you want to come in, you want to get a beer, you want to have some pretzels or whatnot, fine. Just come in and get a beer. You don't have to wear a mask. So the bar's already been fined $1,000 because the staff was not wearing masks. They were also issued a written warning for not checking patrons for proof of vaccination. They also did not post mask signs. Well, I say good for them. Good for them. And now our good friend Henry Rogers is launching a GoFundMe. And, Grace, let's try to post a link to this on the live show blog. And so you'll be able to help. We're trying to raise money. So a lot of the folks who go to the bar are trying to raise money to help pay the fines that Big Board is racking up there. But at least I'm glad to see a bar fighting back. And, folks, it's only going to get worse unless unless the Republicans can take control of Congress. That's it. I mean, it's that simple. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
It's the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Coming up tomorrow on the big show, wow, it's all sorts of crazy stuff happening. The March for Life underway in Washington, D.C. We'll be talking to some folks live, boots on the ground tomorrow from the March for Life. That is hopefully going to have a huge crowd out there. I think last year, that was the year, well, they did not have the march last year, but the year before that is when President Trump became the first and only American president to address the pro-lifers in person. And that really made a statement about President Trump and his commitment to the pro-life movement. And, you know, it was interesting. George W. Bush, his advisors actually, George W. would always send a video message. And W. Is pro-life. But his advisors were not all that committed to the cause, and as a matter of fact, the story is that they felt that W would embarrass himself if he associated himself, if he actually went in person. So they felt like that would be beneath the presidency to go hang out with a bunch of pro-life people on the mall in Washington, D.C. But not Donald Trump. Donald Trump said, hey, look, these are good people, and I'm going to stand alongside of them. So anyway, we'll be talking about that tomorrow. Also, some crazy new mandate stuff coming down, and we may have more on this M&M story, which I don't know why, Grace, this has me really riled up, but it does. But we'll talk about it tomorrow.
You're serious about your chocolate candy.
That's true. But, I mean, you don't want the M&Ms going the way of Eleanor Roosevelt or the Indigo Girls. Or Velma from Scooby-Doo, right? I'm just saying. All right, folks, get out there. Have a great day. Be good, America.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.